thank you so much. Abundant Life, good morning. And Frank, I want you to know how much I'm going to miss you, but honestly, I'm going to be devastated that Frankie is gone because no one rocks a hat like that kid. And one of the highlights of my Sundays when we were able to gather together was coming and seeing him walk in with his swag at level 11. And so Manteca will be blessed. We are, as Pastor Sean said, concluding the series, God's Playlist for the Soul, study the book of Psalms. And we are now coming to the very last psalm, Psalm 150. And we are going to be ending our series for this year. This is the last Sunday of 2020. Next time we gather together, it will be on 2021. And this is, as I began to study Psalm 150, I realized what an appropriate psalm it is to conclude the Psalter and to conclude this series and conclude the year. God knew what he was doing when he put it where he put it. So, Psalm 150, verses 1 to 6. It's a very short psalm. It answers four questions. What, why, how, and who? What? Praise the Lord. Why? Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. How? Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Who? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's it. That is the entirety of the final psalm in the book of Psalms. Now let's just walk through it slowly, sort of step by step, and see what it is that it has to say to us as we wrap up this 2020 and prepare to launch forth into 2021. The first verse tells us what it's all about. What? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, to some people, this is one of the most uncontroversial statements you can utter, and to others, it is an outrageous, outrageous command. I remember I was reading an interview with a missionary once. This would have been 4 or 5 years ago. This missionary was serving in Western Europe. If I recall correctly, it was a gal. She was serving in Western Europe, and she was introducing herself to her neighbors. And like, so what brings you from America to Germany or France or wherever? I think it was Germany. And she said, well, God told me to move here. And the neighbor got very concerned, but not for what you think. The neighbor's like, oh, that's horrible. That's horrible. And the missionary's thinking, oh, I have to like justify the history of missions or whatever. She's like, and the neighbor says, you should never let anyone tell you what to do, not even God. And I read that and I was just like, what a gap, what a chasm in worldviews. To me, it's the most obvious thing in the world that there is a God and I should do what he says. And to this person, that is literally an immoral action. And pause, it's not the main point this morning, but I think what someone in this skeptic's shoes is thinking is that Christians are merely deferring to God because he's so big and we're scared of his bigness and he might whack us with his smite hammer or something. That factors in, but that's not the thing. It's not the motive at all. If you had someone who knew everything and loved you, wouldn't you do what they said? I mean, catch yourself back to your teenage years. Imagine you're just learning to drive. You got your learner's permit. Maybe you got your license, but you're driving your mom to the store. She's giving you some much-needed driving experience, and the light's going behind you. Woo! And you pull off to the side. Your mom's a lawyer. What do you do? Whatever she says. Because she loves you. She wants what's best for you, and she knows things you don't know. God loves you. He wants what's best for you. He knows things that you don't know. This skeptic in Europe was being very foolish, but there's a step beyond that. There's a step beyond obeying God to actually praising God, to celebrating God, to being thrilled with who God is and what God has done, and expressing that through things like song and dance. To some people, this is just so obvious, and to others, it is one of the major barriers to the faith. Now, I imagine if you tuned in this morning, probably you're someone who's bought into this. You believe in God. You want to worship God. Maybe, though, you're a skeptic, or maybe you're a divided family, and someone in your family's a believer. They got this on the TV, and you're watching it. You're in the kitchen, drinking your coffee or making some breakfast, and you're just eavesdropping right now. Maybe you have a coworker, a neighbor, a family member who's just like, I think it's crazy. Like, I sometimes read this from internet atheists when I read their blogs or whatnot. It just seems so needy of God to crave worship. Like, what is this? Like, God, like, feeds off of worship? Like, some sort of Dungeons and Dragons thing? And like, he gets more powerful the more followers that he has? Like, why does God care if these hairless apes, vibrate their vocal cords to him? That just seems so strange in this massive cosmos that God would care about this third rock from the sun and the creatures that inhabit it. And I guess this reveals a huge misconception, which is that God wants our worship for his sake. God, this goes back to the first point that I made earlier, that God loves us and wants what's best for us. And what's best for us is to understand who God is and be in right relationship with him. And when we're in right relationship with him, praise is the natural outflow. And we see this in the next several lines of the psalm. It starts with praise the Lord. That is what? Now why? We see four reasons laid out why we should praise the Lord. And they're really the same reasons that we should praise anything. And I guess I want to start with that. When we launch in this next section here, that praise is natural. This world is filled with praise. Turn on the radio. Something is being praised in the song that you're listening to. Go to a sporting event. Something is being praised and celebrated. Go to a holiday celebration. Something is being exalted and lifted up. Our hearts are oriented towards praise. We celebrate so many things in this world. And all that God is saying is there's something beyond this world worthy of celebration too, and for much the same reason. So, four reasons. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. We're going to walk through these one at a time. First thing it says is praise God in his sanctuary. In other words, we praise God because he gives us the opportunity. We're given access to him. If you, by the way, you're following the notes online, this is one of the fill in the blanks. We worship God. We praise God because he invites us to. We can't just build a sanctuary and command God to appear there. God's not a genie in a bottle. God must invite us in. He builds a sanctuary and tells us to come. Imagine a celebrity. I'm sure there's at least one or two that would just send you around. You'd just be, wow, I can't believe I'm actually meeting so-and-so, my favorite comedian, musician, actor, whoever. Maybe, who, I don't know if it's you. Maybe it's Tom Hanks or Dave Chappelle or Bill. I don't know who, but like they would be in your presence. You'd be like, you would be tongue-tied. But then they beckon you to come and talk to them. You can't just approach a celebrity. Like you can't just like drive down to Beverly Hills and just walk up and knock on someone's door and just invite yourself in for breakfast with them. You can't do that. But let's say that you get reached out to by a celebrity. Let's say you're Pastor Sean, you get this message on Facebook. Dear Pastor Sean, we've seen your sick dance moves on TikTok. And now we'd like to invite you to come and be in our band, signed BTS. And he's like all about that. He's like, oh, I'm such a huge BTS fan. He's going off like a teenage girl. He couldn't invite himself there, but he could be invited. But let's say you get that invitation to come and meet with some celebrity, whoever it may be. For me, it'd be like the Mythbusters, right? Or Penn and Teller. If I got to meet them, I would be so thrilled. And what is one of the first things I would say? I just want to tell you I'm a huge fan. If they're an actor, I loved you in this movie. Or if they're a songwriter or a singer, I just want to tell you how much this song means to me and how it helped me through a hard time. Or if whatever it is that they produce, they're in novels, J.K. Rowling, I just want to tell you how much I enjoyed reading Harry Potter with my kids. It meant so much to me. You wrote such a wonderful story. What am I doing? I'm praising. Why am I praising? Because I've been given opportunity to. I've been given access to them, and so I'm able to tell them how much what they've done has meant to me. Praise God in the sanctuary. Why? God invites us in, and now we have the opportunity to tell him how much what he has done has meant to us. God, I just want to tell you, I'm a huge fan. Gravity, that is such a genius. The way things stick together, like this world would be so different if we didn't have gravity. Thank you so much, God. And the platypus, very clever. Very clever, never saw it coming. That top tier right there. That is like you deserve some applause for that, some praise. We give God praise because we have opportunity to. He invites us to do it. Now, the psalm goes on to unpack some of the different reasons that we might take advantage of that. The next thing that we do is we praise him in his mighty heavens. His mighty heavens. They're his. Why are they his? Because he created them. God is the maker of heaven and earth. We're to worship him because he is the creator. He's the one from whom all things flow. Now, this is so intuitive for most people. I don't want to camp here and spend too much time. But God made the universe. Quasars, pulsars, the vast extents of the Milky Way, black holes, things that fill us with this sense of primal awe are but the dust falling off of his shoulder. They're the mere byproduct of his activity. He is the creator of everything that is beyond the earth as well as everything on the earth. Rainbows and puppies and kittens and brooks that gurgle and all these amazing things that fill us with such wonder and have inspired so much poetry and art through the ages. God made that all. And more than that, he made us. He created you and he created me. We owe him our very existence. This is surely an occasion for praise. Listen to the lyrics of any song. Just go to the radio after the service. Just turn it on to whatever and listen to the lyrics. Unless it's like some like sad country ballad. It's like mourning life. If it's a good, happy song, then what are they doing? They're celebrating things that touch the human heart. They're celebrating things like love, like competition and victory, like patriotism, like holidays, these things that move us. If everything that moves our heart is worthy of praise, surely the one who created the heart is worthy of praise. Third, we are to praise him for his acts of power. We praise God because he answers prayer and intervenes in our lives. So if you're just tuning in, if you haven't met me before, I'm not actually one of the pastors here at Abundant Life. I'm a person who attends the church, and I'm always happy to serve. But I am ordained with the Assemblies of God. My ministry is with a group called Chi Alpha. It's an outreach of the Assemblies of God to colleges and universities across America and around the world. And my assignment is Stanford University. And so I minister there. And when we are able to gather in person, which has not been for quite some time now, one of the things that I will do probably about once a year, maybe twice a year, is in a sermon series, I will just ask for a show of hands. And I never prompt the students in advance. I never let them know this is coming. I say, by the way, if you're in this room right now and God has ever answered a prayer for you, I don't mean like you kind of had a headache and then it kind of went away. I mean like you've had a breakthrough. God did something. You're like, whoa, that's God. Like the kind of stuff Frank was sharing in his testimony. If that's happened to you, would you raise your hand? And hands go up across the room. I would say typically make 75, maybe 80% of the hands go up. People saying, I have had God answer a prayer in a crazy way. And I just tell the guests, the skeptics in the room, look around. If you have questions about whether God is real, why don't you go ask one of these people who has their hands up right now? Now, we can't do that right now. We're scattered across Silicon Valley. You're in your home. You're with your family. But in your heart right now, ask yourself, has God ever come through for you in a huge way? Has God answered a prayer? Praise him for that. It's simple gratitude. Like if someone helped you out, you would say, thank you so much. That's what worship is in part. It's saying thank you. It's having a heart of gratitude. Now, it is possible that right now your mind's instantly going to that prayer God hasn't answered yet. That prayer that didn't turn out the way that you hoped. I'm sorry for that. I don't know what's up with that. I don't know what God's purposes and plans are. But I would say, ask yourself, although God hasn't done what I'd like here, has there ever been a time where he's come through? Go to that. Think about that. Celebrate that. And rest in that with confidence for the future, that God has come through and he will prove faithful in the future. And I don't know all of his purposes or his plans, but I know that he is good and he is trustworthy. And that leads to the final bit of praise. We praise him for his surpassing greatness. We worship God for who he is, not just for what he has done. Again, this is normal. This is an occasion for praise in everyday life. Do you have a friend you really respect? Someone you just look up to, you admire some aspect of their character. Have you ever told them that? That was an act of praise. Man, I just want to tell you how much I respect your integrity. I just want to tell you how much your faithfulness through this hard time has meant to me. It's been a real encouragement to me. Man, I want to just thank you. You've always got an encouraging word when someone is going through a hard time. You notice and you reach out and you know just the right thing to say. I wish I could be more like you in that regard. Man, your generosity staggers me. I struggle with that. Generosity is hard, but you spread blessings wherever you go. Wow. Okay, praise. You are praising somebody. You're praising them for acts of goodness, not just for the acts, but for the heart that motivates those acts. You're respecting them. God is worthy of respect, not just for his answered prayers, not just for making everything, not just for inviting us to come into his presence. All that's cool and great, just for who he is. 2 days ago, we celebrated Christmas. Christmas is one of the most amazing things in human history. Literally, the first Christmas split time in two. There's the stuff before then, we call it BC. So the stuff about the Han Dynasty, the Aztecs, you know, ancient Romans and Greeks, that's all BC. And then there's stuff happening now, that's AD. And in between is the birth of a baby. That's kind of crazy because there's a baby born probably like every 7 seconds or something on the earth. But this one birth was so amazing that we divide time into before it happened and after it happened. Why? Because that first Christmas showed us something about God that nothing to that point had ever revealed. Just how good God is. It's easy to sort of complain about some invisible guy in the sky who's never had to put up with anything. I mean, God doesn't have hormones. He doesn't know what that's like. God's never been in debt. He doesn't know what that's like. God's never had to deal with this, that, or the other. You know, God is, he's abstract. He's just sitting there judging us. And he has no idea what it's like. Well, he does. That's the Christmas story. God gave up transcendence in exchange for dependence on Mary and Joseph. He went from being worshiped by angels to being washed by peasants. He exchanged all the goodness of heaven for all the trouble of this world. And he did it for you and for me. And that's cool. That's amazing already. But the even greater part is this. As he lived on this earth, this broken world with its cruelties and its confusions, he never sinned. Like, even as he was betrayed by a friend and tortured to death on a cross, he never succumbed to bitterness. He didn't turn towards wrath and vengeance. To the end, he loved. And not just the ones who betrayed him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Also, not the betrayal, but the ones who tortured him. But also, you and I who caused that to be necessary. He went through all that for your sake and for mine. And he's not mad. He still welcomes us home. He still invites us in. As we saw in the psalm earlier, we get to worship him in his sanctuary. He says, come, come hang with me, be with me. I no longer call you servants, but friends. God is worthy of our respect, not for anything he has done, although, yes, all of that, but simply for who he is. He is praiseworthy, and therefore, we should give him that praise. So we've looked at what, praise the Lord, why, for all these reasons, how. How shall we praise the Lord? It says in verse 3, praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. So how? Well, apparently loudly and repeatedly and exuberantly and creatively. Now, there's two ways that you could read this passage, just this list of ways to praise God. One is to say, well, this is the rules, that when we got together for praise, there needs to be a harp, there needs to be a lyre, a timbrel, someone's got to dance, and that's why abundant life is being judged by God, because we're not doing that every week. That's one way you could read it, but I don't think that really makes a lot of sense, because there's all sorts of scenes of worship in the Bible that don't have each of these instruments in them. In fact, there are some scenes of worship in the Bible that don't have any instruments at all, and many that contain no dancing. So this is not a list of ways that God demands that we worship him. You don't have to go start practicing the timbrel at home right now. It's first thing, go to Wikipedia. Lord, what is a timbrel? You know, Siri, what is a timbrel? You don't have to do that. But I think the other way to read this passage makes more sense, which is pull out all the stops. Just whatever you got, give it to the Lord. Now, whenever we talk about worship, it's almost obligatory to say that worship is more than music. And it is. That is a true statement. But sometimes we say that so much that I worry we forget that worship is not less than music. that worship is not something we do independent of song and music. That the reason the biggest book in the Bible is a book of songs is because that is central to the way that we express our love to God. Now, Glenn, you were just saying a few minutes ago that praise is just sort of a natural thing, but I don't sing songs to my friends. That feels like a little bit different to me. Well, maybe you're just not a good singer. I don't know. But I do remember that I was at a wedding once, fishing a wedding for a guy who had come to Christ in our ministry at Stanford. And he whipped out his guitar in the ceremony and sang a song he had written to his new bride. Everyone was crying because it was appropriate. See, what we're just talking about is not some dude who lives down the block from us who's pretty cool and does nice things for us. We're talking about someone that we love. And when it comes to love, lyrics are the most quintessential expression of language that there is. This is why, I don't know what percentage of top 40 songs right now are romantically infused, but I would guess the vast majority. And I think that's been true for decades and will be true for decades. Because there's something about love that calls forth more than mere, I like you. Do you like me? Check yes, check no, that you got to in first grade, right? That as we mature, we want to give more of ourselves to our beloved, and God is our beloved. Now, Pastor Sean mentioned earlier that right now, Abundant Life's in need of a new percussionist. And I want you to notice, by the way, that we had strings listed here. We've got wind instruments. We've got percussive instruments. We've got physical expression of dance, all listed in this psalm. If you're a percussionist, I would encourage you to reach out to the church, let them know, well, I'm not quite that good yet. Well, hey, let them be the judge of that. Don't vote yourself out. And trust that they're honest. They'll tell you if you're not quite ready for stage time yet, well, then they'll tell you, well, here's where you're at, and here's how to get to where you need to be. But maybe you're not ready. Maybe you play the guitar, and you're just like, I'd love to someday, but not ready. Okay, play for your group in common. Ask the group in common leader if you can do that. Play for your home. Just for yourself, just take your devotional time of reading the Bible and praying, which I want to remind you that next week, we're going to be launching into, on January 1st, a Read Through the Bible in a Year program as a church. You should have received one of these in the mail. If you haven't yet, you can go online and download it. If you have any questions, visit the church website. I'm sure the information will be there. But you could actually, in addition to reading, sing a song. Well, I don't know any songs. YouTube exists. Go find a song and just play along with it. I don't know how to play. Well, there are YouTube videos that will teach you how to play worship songs. You can learn to do that. It's a thing. Whether you play the kazoo or the didgeridoo or anything in between, there's a way you can use it to praise the Lord. Now, I encourage you, give God your all. Now, what if you're like me and you ain't got nothing? I can't play a kazoo. I played the recorder back when I was in like fourth grade and it was mandatory, and I just squeaked through by the grace of God and the skin of my teeth, which probably was a plant wrong. I was trying to use my teeth too much. Whatever your issue is, I can't even sing on key. What do people like you and I get to do? Well, fortunately, we live in an era where you don't have to be rich to be accompanied by a full orchestra. Man, you can just fire up Spotify or iTunes, whatever you use, and you can be accompanied by some really talented musicians, and they can just be your background vocalist. You can be driving somewhere and singing along. You can be out jogging and have some worship going and just sing out loud. You can be in the shower praising God. We can all do that regardless of our level of giftedness or talent that we have or have not honed. And so I would encourage you, be a full worshiper. And just if I could, one more thing on this point. While you're in this pandemic, while we're prohibited from being able to gather together and worship in person the way that we would like, I would encourage you, don't let worship become a passive activity. Don't just sit there in your living room, stare at the screen if you're watching on your TV or gathered around a laptop. Don't just sit there. Actually worship out loud. Do what you would do if we were to gather together. Stand to your feet, raise your hands, sing aloud to the songs. Worship is not a buffet, it's a potluck. We've all got to bring something to the table. And what we bring is our participation. Here's the thing. We are actually singing the same song to the same God at the same time. Yes, we're scattered around by multiple miles, but we're all singing in one spirit. God is not less present in your living room than he is in this auditorium. God is everywhere. And he deserves real worship. And so I'd encourage you, if you have gotten out of that habit, or if you've just been a little bit nervous because you're with your family, you don't know how awkward it would be or how it would be, just do it. Just give God some praise and fully engage. And I think you'll find that it transforms your experience of online worship. For me, at the very beginning, I wasn't sure how this was going to work. So I was just sort of like mouthing along, being weird. And then I'm going to do this. And as soon as I began to really engage my whole body in worship, man, I encountered God in a new way. It's not the same as being together. We still yearn for that, but it's pretty good. Pretty good. So, what? We worship God. We praise God. Why? For all of these reasons about who he is and what he has done, and the mere fact that he gives us access to do it. How? With everything that we have, as creatively as we can, we give God our all. And then, who? Who should do these things? Verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, you probably know this, but that praise the Lord, that's the Hebrew word hallelujah. The Hebrew, word hallelujah that we render is the phrase praise the Lord. The last word of the book of Psalms, hallelujah. When we gather and we sing hallelujah, what we're doing is we're encouraging one another. We're exhorting one another. Give God praise. Come on, let's do this thing together. Do you have breath in your lungs? If not, call 911 right away. If you have breath in your lungs, praise God. In 2020, praising God. Launch into 2021 praising God because he is good and he is worthy and he deserves our admiration, our praise, our respect, our worship, our reverence. It's a great way to leave this year behind and launch into a new year. Now, it doesn't matter how far away you feel from God right now, what you've done or what you've failed to do in the last several weeks. Doesn't matter if this Christmas was a good one or a bad one. God is only a song away. He's only one prayer removed from you right now. And he, as I said earlier, invites us into his sanctuary to meet with him, to connect with him. Christmas was 2 days ago. So the story is fresh in our minds. Christ was born in Bethlehem in a most unexpected way, in an unexpected place. If this has not yet been your experience, let your heart be at Bethlehem this morning. Let Christ be born there through faith. Welcome him. Welcome him. And begin to worship him with your lips and with your life, the praise that we call obedience. And he will transform you. He will lead you on a journey. And your 2021 is going to be pretty amazing. So I want to pray a blessing over all of us and then a few words in closing and then dismiss the service. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We hear your words and we do. We give you praise. We just sang songs. We've listened to your word. And now we are about to go forth into our days and let your praise ever be on our lips. God, you are worthy. You are worthy for who you are. You are worthy for what you have done, for what you have made, and for the mere fact that you give us access into your presence. And so, God, we do honor you with our lips. Lord, for any listening to my words right now who've not yet placed their faith in you, let this morning be their true Christmas morning. Meet them where they're at. Transform them from the inside and lead them on a journey. For those of us who made that decision, in most cases many years ago, Lord, help us to continue to praise you in every way, at every step. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I want to remind you, if you haven't gotten this yet, please do get that. And by the way, I didn't ask Pastor Greg about this, but I feel pretty confident saying, we don't care whether you read through the Bible using this program or not. It's just a good tool, and it will be, give you something to talk about with others in the church. But if there's another program you like, just read through the Bible. Engage God's word regularly. And there's lots of things out there. Find the one that suits you and your family best. Also on that note, end of the year, I should mention, 2020 is coming to an end. If you're hoping to make a charitable gift by the end of the year to anywhere, whether it be this church or to a missionary or whatever, just remember that has to be postmarked by December 31st in order for the tax benefits to accrue to you. We don't give because of tax benefits, but we try to take advantage of them where we can because that's good stewardship. And would encourage you, if you're waiting for next weekend, that's going to be too late because Friday is the end of the year. And so, I want to close with Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 to 6, the passage that we've been concluding with for quite a while now. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Through the end of 2020 and to 2021 and beyond. Abundant life, God bless. Have a good week.